Good morning, Titirangi Baptist Church. Are you awake? Okay, we've been to quite a lot of Baptist churches this year. We've been to a very beautiful place, Picton Baptist. We've been to Upper Hutt Baptist, Te Tahi Bay Baptist, where we're living this year near Porirua. Where else have we been, Mary? St. Albans and Christchurch. Okay, so we've been met quite a lot of Baptist saints this year. My name's Kim, and my wife and I have worked in Thailand with IMF for 21 years. We went there when we were 40, so we went with three children, and now we've got four children and two grandchildren and two more grandchildren coming, and God has blessed our family more than if we had stayed, okay? So Matt and Christelle, there's a blessing if you go. You're not giving up so much. You're gaining a lot when you obey God. And the worst place to be is outside God's will, isn't it? The best place is in God's will. Before I start, I'd just like to say one number, and I want you to reply, okay? The first number is 36. So what's the answer? If I say 36, what do you say?
Zero.
Zero, okay? Who watched that? So we're not so grieved today. Last week we would have been a bit down, I guess. So New Zealand ego has been restored temporarily to the World Cup. So as missionaries, I try and watch rugby, so I keep in touch with what's going on in New Zealand, the important things, and don't worry about the politics, okay? Rugby is more important than politics. But Jesus is still Lord. So in this psalm, I was asked to share from the Psalms of Lament, Psalms 73 to 89. I thought, goodness me, what am I going to do? But Psalm 73 is quite special to me. And so I couldn't go past Psalm 73 because it's actually sort of, you have these scriptures actually your foundations to life. And so Psalm 73 has become one of my foundations. And if you see there, it says, I almost stumbled. Asaph, the writer, almost stumbled when he saw the prosperity of the wicked. And so one of the big questions for the Christian faith is suffering. How do you explain, how can a good God allow suffering? In this case, how can a good God allow the wicked to prosper? So it's a major stumbling block, a lot of people challenge the Christians, say, how can God allow so much suffering in the world? How can God be loving? And so this is actually quite a relevant topic. So how am I going here? Which one do I, down or down? Okay, Asaph was one of King David's three chief musicians, and this psalm is a wisdom psalm, a little bit like Job. And it's also a lament, but it's actually a bit like wisdom, trying to explain evil, like Job. And the psalmist struggles with evil and injustice in God's world. Okay, how can God's world be like this? And in Psalms you often see there's God, there's the self, there's me, and there's the wicked. And there's these three things interacting in this psalm too. So God, me, and the wicked. And so here we go. Just getting used to this technology. So just like to teach you a little bit of Hebrew because I don't know Hebrew at all. So the names of God are very interesting in Scripture. So the first one you encounter here is Elohim. It's a Hebrew word which means God or gods. And it's a sort of a general word, a bit like our word God. And it can be abbreviated to El. And you see that in, I've listed the verses, you see it. So it starts off in, with Elohim, El, and Elyon, which means the most high. And Adonai, which means Lord, and then at the end of the psalm you come up with this Adonai Yahweh. And so there's a message in the psalm, I think, in how they've used the words, God is sort of a general word, and we can use God quite generally, but when you start to talk about Jesus, that actually starts to, a lot of people talk about God, but Jesus is actually the personal name of God, and in this case Yahweh was the personal name. Moses met God face to face, and he said, what's your name? He said, my name is Yahweh. And so this is the covenantal name. This is actually the personal name of God to the Jews. And so this thing starts with a general name. And in the end, he comes to a point where he knows God more intimately. And we can come from knowing God, a little bit about God, then actually we get into the New Testament. We actually get to know Jesus, who's a person. And quite different to having this vague vision of God, but we actually know who Jesus is. And so here, Asaph, the psalmist, gets to know the Lord Yahweh, so he actually becomes a lot more intimate rather than just a general knowledge of God. So I'd like to go through some sections of the psalm. It begins with God is good. And this is what you'll be taught in Sunday school, and I'm sure in those days they taught that God is good. It says, truly God, Elohim, is good to Israel, to those who are pure of heart. And pure of heart is a funny word, but as I understand it, means whose hearts are seeking God, and as a result of seeking God, you actually have a life that's pleasing to God. So it's not just seeking God, but it's also your life is correspondingly seeking God and doing the good stuff that God wants us to do. And so this is what you learn in Sunday school. This is the basic, you know, God's good. And so this is the orthodox view of God. But the SF, it says, so he believes this, but he says, but as for me, my feet had almost stumbled, my steps had nearly slipped, for when I was envious of the arrogant and I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And so he's stumbling in his faith. He's actually, I believe God's good, but actually my experience is quite the opposite. And I'm sure a lot of you are going through major experiences in life which actually make you say, is God good? In the Garden of Eden, Satan actually challenged Adam and Eve, is God really good? And so it's a challenge that will come to all our faith. We have this belief that God's good, but reality is almost 180 degrees going the other way. God's allowing the wicked here, the wicked to prosper. And so then Asaph goes and complains about the wicked. And so his eyes are all on the wicked. And it says before there he was envious. And so who's ever felt envious of other people? You know, it can come be, you know, I've only got a Samsung. Well, someone here has got an Apple. And I've just got a cruddy old Samsung, you know. And I'm envious of his tech. And today, actually, tech is a big source of envy. If you haven't got an Apple, you know, you've got a cruddy old Samsung. Or I've got actually Huawei here. I can't afford an Apple, so you start big tech envy. You know, there's all these envies, you know, the brands of your shoes. I actually managed to find some cheap Nikes under a bridge in Thailand, so I've got the right brand on my feet. Praise the Lord. But anyway, so this is envy. And it's not just these days. There's the people who've got houses and the people who haven't. And the other day, Friday, I went to this house. These retired people have a house that must be worth $1.5 million. It's beautiful. And my son, he's got this little wee box he paid an arm and a leg for, and he's just cramped theirs, and these other people are retired and they've got this big house. And so there's this envy about all sorts of things, isn't there? And so he was envious, and it started to mess up with his faith. And so this is what he says. I don't know if I'll go through it all because it's quite long, but just says they don't things are very comfortable for there's no trouble for the wicked. Pride is their necklace. Violence covers their garments. So these people are very nasty people. And fat, because they've got lots to eat. And those days, if you didn't have anything to eat, you'd be skinny or dead. They scoff, and so they speak big. And they set their mouths against the heavens. They actually are arrogant before God, no humility before God. And these are actually Israelites, who are Jews, who are Yahweh worshippers. And they actually think that God, they can get away with stuff. And so they are very proud and puffed up. And what is even worse is the people around Asaph don't mind. Therefore, the people turn the back of them and find no fault in them. They don't really care. It's all right to be like that, because that's the way of the world. That's the way you do business. You rip people off because you've got to go ahead. You've got to look after number one. And so the wicked are people are accepting what they do as normal, and Asaph is actually becoming the bad one. And we actually have a lot of challenges in New Zealand at the moment about some of the moral issues. There's struggles over the gay issue, the end of life thing, you know, euthanasia and abortion. These are actually really struggling. And Christians are actually, if you have conservative views, you're becoming a bad person. And so the Asaph has to shut up a bit. And so Asaph, this is Asaph. In vain I've kept my heart clean. I've tried to be good and do what God wants. Go to church on Sunday, pay my tithes, and give to missions. I hope you give to missions. Anyway, I've been good. I've even taught Sunday school. But I'm actually really struggling, God. And if I had said, I will speak thus, I would betray my generation. So he actually he's not even prepared to say what he's thinking. The party line is God is good, but in his heart, God isn't good. And he actually he won't even speak the doubts, because he's a leader. He can't actually show any doubts because he's a leader. He's got to stick to the party line. So he's struggling. And he said he almost slipped. And then something happens. But when I thought how to understand this, it seemed to be a wearisome task. And verse 17 says, until I went into the sanctuary of God, and that's the El God there, and then I discerned the end. And so something happened when he sought God. And one of the things the psalm says is, if your faith is falling to bits, this is the way out, is to seek God. And if you've got serious doubts about God's goodness because of your life experience, the way out is to seek God. And I went into the sanctuary of God, and I'll talk about later what that might mean or how I might do that. Obviously, this is a sanctuary in one way, coming to church and joining with the saints. He understood the end of the wicked, and so the end of the wicked is they're in a slippery place, and God will cause them to ruin. They'll be destroyed in a moment, and they'll be gone. So the wicked God sees what the wicked's doing, and he will deal with the wicked. And so after that, and this is a verse, this is my verse out of this, these are my verses here. When he was envious, his soul became embittered, very bitter. And he became brutish and ignorant and became like a beast. This is Asaph. And so because he is so focused on this thing, it started to mess around with his heart and his spiritual life, and he became part of the problem. And sometimes we can maybe have a problem with someone in church. I don't like that person. They just really drive me nuts. And so you're worshiping God, and you're just really just thinking about that person or thinking about something else, and it becomes between you and God. And so we can become quite brutish, and all we can see is negative in someone. Negative, 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 and we become blind and brutish, and so we become like that. And so he was a mess, spiritually a mess, and even as a leader. And so finally, he has this renewal, and this you could read this passage here every day for a week, and you'd still be. This is the renewal passage. This is renewing your spirit. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. So his focus has gone from the wicked, suddenly has gone to God. He was down there, eyes off God, eyes on the problem, and suddenly he switched his eyes up to the heavens, and he understands. And you guide me, verse 24-25, whom have I in heaven but you? And that's the truth for us. My flesh and my heart may fail. I may fail, but God is the strength of my heart. And then, behold, those who are far from you shall perish. And the word unfaithful there, this is actually the Jews. The unfaithful means harlot. So the Jews are behaving like harlots. They're actually going after other gods. They're betraying the covenant God. And so in the final verse there, but as for me, it's good to be near you, God, Elohim. I have made the Lord God. So he's coming to, this is final getting to the, I have made the Lord God. I have made Adonai Yahweh my refuge. So this, he's actually suddenly got a much closer relationship with God. It's a bit like father becoming, seeing God as his father, or Jesus as his friend, or somebody who's got this much closer personal relationship with God rather than just this general belief in God. And then before he wouldn't speak because he had just had doubts about God, but now he wants to tell everyone about God's works. He's really excited about God. And you know when you're going through a bad time, you don't want to talk about God, do you? Because God's not really doing much good in my life. I can't really say much, but here he actually, you can't shut up. And in the Bible, the works, normally they refer to creation and redemption, of the saving of the Jews from slavery. Those are the two rescues that God, or the rescue that God did. And so that's the works they often speak about. And so just the before and after here. Before, this is what he said, but as for me, and you see afterwards in verse 28, as for me. So he's got a different two as for me's. Verse 2, as for me, my feet are almost stumbled, my steps have nearly slipped. But then he comes to the point on this journey, but as for me, it's good to be near God. It's good to go to church, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Good to go to cell group, good to have a quiet time. Some of you guys haven't even got the spiritual energy right now to have a quiet time, have you? Some of you aren't opening your Bibles because you're a bit, you're on the before stage. You really don't see God as being that much help. But he's come for a journey, for an experience, and he's pressed into God, and he's had a... God's done something. As for me, it's good to be near God. God is my refuge. And I'm going to tell everyone about him too. Some of you people don't really want to tell anyone about God. Okay, but here he's had an experience with God. He knows him as Yahweh, and he wants to tell people. And he's on this journey. And So that's, where do we go next? Psalm 73. God is good. Just a quick outline. This is the outline I presented. So God is good. That's a statement. God almost stumbled. Next one. My issue with God, the wicked prosper. So I've got an issue with God. Most of you have some issues with God, big or small. They can be health issues, financial issues, marriage issues. We've all got issues with God. And so he had an issue with God, and the people around him, you know, in New Zealand, the society's actually turned their back on God, and we've become the baddies. So the society's saying some things that God says are bad, they're saying good, and so we have an issue in our society right now. And so I'm doubting God too, but I'm still believing he's good, but I've still got these big doubts which are causing problems in my spiritual walk. In actual fact, God puts some of these things there to make us grow. And so in God's sanctuary, when we pressed into God, we discerned, or he discerned. And he discerned, one, the end of the wicked. Two, he discerned the darkness in our own hearts. Every one of us is dealing with this darkness in our own hearts. And we've all got this darkness, and there's all sorts of stuff that causes darkness there. You know, these days pornography is rife, and so people are feeding this stuff in, and it's messing up with our hearts and our spirits, and there's a lot of stuff messing up with our minds and our hearts spiritually. And so we discern this darkness. And so this is the big thing for me. I discern some darkness in my heart, and then he received God's grace. And he understood the heavenly perspective. He understood the end of the wicked. He saw that there's the end, and God has the end in his hands, and it's in God's hands. And so then he realized it's good to be near God. That's the best place to be, is near God. Don't turn your back on God. The best place is to be near him. And so he had this earthly vision, just looking at the wicked prospering. Then he suddenly got his eyes on God. And there was a crisis of faith, and then there was a growing of faith. And this crisis is there to make us grow. And God allows some crisis, whether he doesn't engineer them, but he allows them to bring growth. And I'd like you to, this is my crisis for the last 15 years. This is our co-worker in Thailand. This is Pastor Bird. And he's been our blessing, but he's also been one of my crises. I'm just going to tell you a bit about my experience. Bird, I had an alcoholic father who was a bit of a, dealt in drugs, took drugs, sold drugs a bit, dealt in local gangs and petty crime, and was in prison and came to Christ in prison. Had an opportunity to study the Bible, married with two daughters, and been our co-workers for the last 13 years. As a missionary, if you have a good Thai national local co-worker, you can make a lot of progress. By yourself, you really struggle. So he's been our greatest blessing, but he's been my biggest challenge in my whole life. And so what do we do next? Psalm 73 has been a key in my relationship with Bird. And so here's can we have the sound up a bit? This is him singing a song about God's goodness. Can we have a bit more sound? God is good. God is Praongdi. Very good. Song sin. You are good. Pastor Bird, our co-worker, and so he's a musician, and he loves singing, and it's just a clip he posted on the internet the other day. And so Psalm 73 says God is good, but here we keep going. Okay, so I became quite bitter about this guy Bird. We worked with him for about 10 years, then we came home and left him in charge of the church plant, and within a week the church plant nearly died. And he just became quite important, started throwing his weight around and bossing people around. And some people we loved left the church and were quite hurt. And so we were home on home assignment, and he was there making a mess of the church. And as it got worse, he got probably nastier. And he was going through this rough patch of a new leader and trying to be the leader and actually causing a lot of strife. And so people were messaging us, and so we were here, and it was a hard year. And as I sought God, because this was a crisis for me, we'd planted this church, and it was looking like it was going to die. And so if the church died, we're failures, okay? And so that's sort of like you feel, you know. Well, obviously, you're not total failure. But anyway, I came to this point. I read this passage here, these two verses. When my soul was embittered, so I was bitter. When my heart was pricked, these things were spearing my heart. I was brutish and ignorant, and it was like I was like a beast. So it was actually starting to really mess me up spiritually, and I was angry. And so I this psalm, you know, when he went into the presence of God, he saw something. And so I actually saw what was in my heart, and it really helped me move on and start growing as a missionary. And so I saw the situation making like a beast, and I realized I was part of the problem, and it wasn't just them, and I needed to take responsibility for my part. And I came across this idea called family systems, where it talks about us being a family, and there's a whole interaction of relationships. It's not I'm the good guy and they're the bad guy. It's actually we're in this together. We're dancing through this life journey together. And so I've got some problems, you've got some problems, and we're both quite awkward people to be with. Him and I are both stubborn leaders types, you know, and so leaders tend to bang, bang, bang together a bit sometimes. And so I have had to grow and deal with my part of it. And one of the things is you realize I can't change him, but I can change me. So I have to figure out what I have to deal with. I deal with my things and he deals with his. And God somehow is the umpire. And so we often self-righteously think we're the good guys when there's conflict, okay? But we're not the good guys. We're part of the problem most of the time, okay? It's not them, it's we, us too, and we have to deal with us. We can't fix them. I can't fix my wife, okay? If you're young married guys, you'll never fix your wife, okay? God's got to do that. And woman, you can't change your husband very much. Okay. So his encounter with God enabled him to see his beastliness, okay? He wasn't right all the time, okay? Mary and I, we are Mr. and Mrs. Right, okay? Some of you are like that too, okay? So Matthew talks about the speck in the eye, okay? Do not notice that the log in your own eye. How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when there is a big one in your own eye? So there's a speck, you know, we have they have a speck in their eye which we try to get out. We have this big log in our eye, and so there's a picture here, you know. The man in green's got a speck, the other guy's got this big log in his eye, and he's trying to get the speck out. And so often we have the log, and we can't see the log. And so sometimes it's like this. Two parties both have a log in their eye. You know, I can see your log, but I'm trying to get your log out, but I've got mine. And so so we often have logs in our own eyes. We can't see them, can we? In our own personality, sandpaper, sharp edges. And here's another one from Peanuts. Tell me something. Are there more bad people in the world, or are there more good people? So and the next is, who is to say? Who is to say who is bad and who is good? I will, okay? So I am the arbiter, the decider of who is good and bad, and particularly I'm in the good category, okay? And so if you go into ministry or particularly missionary, the pressure out of your comfort zone will actually bring out a lot of that rubbish. And so which God wants to deal with too. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I discerned their end. How do we get into the sanctuary of God? And there's lots of ways, I think. So it's the seeking God. In Romans it talks about those who seek God or those who don't seek God. In this psalm it talks about the pure in heart and those who aren't pure in heart. So how do we enter the sanctuary of God? One of the ways is times of testing will force us to make a choice. Do we get bitter and go away from God, or do we get better and seek God, press into God? And so times of testing are one thing that actually make us pray. And The time to get you, make you on your knees, is when you're in trouble. Okay, when you're not in trouble, when things are sweet, you'll probably forget your quiet time, forget to pray. But times, hard times, are what bring spiritual growth. In some ways, you can't really be sure of a person until you've seen them go through hard times. You're not sure. And some of the great leaders, like Nelson Mandela, spent 20 years in prison, which made him a great leader. He went through hard times, and it made him a great leader. Daily Bible reading, and most of you probably have a quick one, quick daily Bible reading. And so if you don't have time in your day, you have to make some special times, like 1 hour a week, to sit down and really have a big feed of the Bible. Do something. If you can't have good regular, have a big feed once a week. Do something. These days, you can actually, while you're commuting, you can actually listen to a podcast or something, or there's a lot of ways you can actually do that. But a Christian without reading, if you're not reading the Bible, you're not going to really grow. And so there's no way around it. But these days, you can listen, or you can actually watch something. There's a lot of options. And so you have to build something into your life. You've got to do it. You haven't got time. Well, you got to have time somehow. And if you can't do it every day, just one special time a week, or you got obviously church and other things, but you've got to feed yourself. Okay, daily prayer. And sometimes you haven't got much time to pray, but even special times, like on a weekend, have a good Bible reading, have a prayer time. And well, I don't know how to pray. I'm not very good at praying. Well, none of us are. Because God's the one who's it's about God. Special times with God. We have holidays, and I actually make that a special time to actually try and have a good time with God, and maybe camps and things like that. Fellowship, obviously. Fellowship, Christians need three things. They need a relationship with God, they need fellowship, and they need to be outreaching. There you go. There's my 30 minutes. I'm done. Okay, I'm not far away. Okay, next. Worship. Mary and I this year have actually, someone gave us an old Samsung tablet note, and we actually have that plugged in, and we're actually just playing, we've got it plugged in the speaker, and we're playing just worship songs in the house quite often. So we actually got this music coming into the house quite a lot. And I find some of these, there's a few good Hillsong songs at the moment, I actually wake up singing them. And so you put them during the day, and they actually come out in the morning. As you wake up, you've got these songs in your heart. And so you can actually fill yourself up with this stuff, and then it'll come out of you. And so, I don't like Christian worship. Okay, we'll find something that works for you. But we are actually being blessed by just having this music in the house quite a lot, and then it just comes out of you as well. And it's actually, it changes the atmosphere in your heart. And reaching out to others needier than yourself. You know, you've got lots of problems, but if you reach out to someone else with more problems, actually that'll help you get a better vision. So how are we going? Witnessing, okay. The psalmist in verse 28 said, I will tell of all his works. He had this encounter with God, and he just had to go and tell people about Jesus, about Yahweh in this case, but you need this encounter with God. So just a little bit, Buddhism is works-based. It says do good, get good, do evil, get evil. This is one of their foundations. So many Buddhists take a long time to understand that we're justified by faith. It's not by our works. We going to church and tithing and whatever else you do doesn't get you saved. It's actually faith, grace of God. It's a gift, free gift. And so they take a while. And to get Christ-focused, to realize it's all about Jesus, okay? And one of the things I've done, with most of us, Pastor Bird, has forced me to become quite Christ-focused. Not Bird-focused, but Jesus focused, and when I preach, I actually try and speak about Jesus. That he's the one. He's the hero of the Bible, and he's the revelation that the Bible is leading up to for a lot of years. And so we have to actually, as the psalmist fell in love with Yahweh again, we need to fall in love with Jesus again and again. And we get hot, and then we go cold, and we got to fall in love, and it's a bit of a journey. Last week, we've been looking after our granddaughter, Eva, and she's 1.5, and she's the most cutest baby in the world, because she's our granddaughter. And last week, she was very sick. She's got this mouth and hand and foot thing, you know, whatever it is. And she just snuggled up to Granny and sort of slept on her knee for about an hour. And it's sort of a picture of when we go through crisis, and she had a health crisis, she just snuggled up close to Granny, because Mum was working, and it's like us, when we got trouble, the best thing for us to do is snuggle up to God and press into God And like the psalmist, he found comfort. How much more does a heavenly Father want us, to his children, to draw near to him in hard times? So two final pictures from the Bible which helped me. This is Daniel. They set up this idol and they said, you can only worship this idol. No other idols, no other gods. And so Daniel, what he did, he got down on his knees, opened the doors, got down on his knees and prayed to God three times a day. And this is a picture in a time of crisis when I've had some issues with Bird. I've got down on my knees and I've prayed hard to God and maybe a week, over a period of a week, and then I feel it's time to go and deal with the issue that has come up. And so getting down on your knees, what do you say? We just cry out to God and tell him the truth and tell him the bad stuff. And so this has helped me, this picture of Daniel going on his knees. It was actually a crisis for him and the Jewish people. They're in captivity. And he got down on his knees and he prayed hard. And you don't need a university degree in theology to know how to get down on your knees and pray hard, okay? You just need a crisis. And so we need to do what Daniel did, get down on our knees. And this last picture is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is before the cross. Matthew says, that going a little further, Jesus fell on his face and prayed. And so sometimes we need to get on our face and pray. And it's a bit embarrassing, so you close the door. And when you're on your face, sometimes you think, that's not low enough. I can't, I need to go lower. But it's as low as you can go, on your face before God. And this is Jesus before God facing a huge trial. He was on his face praying. And so this picture of Jesus and this picture of Daniel on their knees, on their face before God, in a crisis. And so this psalm, just to consider this psalm, God is good. There's a major crisis in the psalmist's life. He's almost slipped in his faith. He's almost given God away. I'm not going to church ever again. And then he has this encounter with God, and then he's renewed, and he's got his vision up to God, and he's praising God. And so this is our journey. Often we go in cycles of this. And so wherever you are, some of you people got some horrendous things going in your life. We've met people who've just had very difficult situations in the last couple of weeks. And so we've met three people and they're pressing into God. And that's the way to do it. Don't get bitter with God. Press into God. And so I'll just pray for you now. And just thank you, Jesus, for Psalm 73. And just pray these people would open Psalm 73 in times of crisis. And remember Psalm 73. Lord, put it in their hearts that they would see you on the throne, would have a renewed vision of you in their crisis. Lord, we know there's some crises which are just so tough and so hard, and we can't see you. And Lord, we just pray for people in this congregation going through these hard times where they can't even speak about you and they're disappointed in you. Lord, we just pray that you'd help us to draw near to you, seek you and find you in the sanctuary, in that special place. And Lord, we'd go on our knees, we'd go on our face and we'd cry out to you and we'd complain to you and we'd seek you and we'd find you and we'd be renewed and we'd be ones who would pass through the hard times and come to the time where we just can't be quiet about you because you're so good. We'd know that you're Adonai Yahweh, you know you're the Lord God, you know you're the Father, you know you're Jesus. Lord, we just pray for that you would use this psalm to bless many and to grow many. Lord, we thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.